Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello and welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we find ourselves in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and we're going to look at two very extraordinary stories that are recorded for us between verse 30 and the end of the chapter, verse 56. These are two very different stories, but again, by the Lake Galilee, by the Sea of Galilee, things are happening. The apostles have gathered around Jesus, and a crowd had gathered around Jesus. And, initially, Jesus says to the disciples, "Let's go to a quiet place and get some rest." But the way things are, and having now been to Israel, you know, the journey around the lake, if you don't go across on the lake, walking around won't take necessarily that long. And people scooted round to the part of the lake where Jesus was going to land, and they were very quickly there waiting for him, and perhaps were anticipating healing. But Jesus responds by teaching them, and he teaches them a number of things, and this teaching time goes on for quite a long time, because it's getting late, and the disciples come alongside Jesus and say, "Look, this is a remote place. We ought to release these people to get some food, because they've been listening for a long time." And Jesus answers in quite an extraordinary way. He says, "You give them something to eat." And they look at Jesus and they say, "But that would take loads of money, and money we don't have. How are we to get that much bread, even if we had the money? How are we going to carry it all the way back here?" And Jesus says, "Well, what do you have? How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then Jesus says, "Well, get the people to sit in groups of hundreds and fifties." Now, this would have taken quite some time, because we understand there was about 5,000 people, certainly 5,000 men. So getting them all into groups of hundreds and fifties would have taken time. But Jesus picks up the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he blesses them, and he begins to break them. And to the amazement of all, especially the disciples, they're able to distribute bread and fish to all of the crowd, and there's even 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish left over. Amazing, amazing ministry. Jesus was prepared to respond in a practical way to people who were tired and hungry, having taught them the word of God. And that's a very important principle. We want to care for people in their practical need, but we especially want to put the spiritual need first, which is what Jesus does. Well, immediately after this, he gets into a boat, and they go on to Bethesda, and he leaves them for a while. And in the evening, there in the middle of the lake, and they're really hard pushed, rowing their boat across the lake. And about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus walks by. And, of course, they have absolutely no idea how this is possible. Jesus is walking by. It seems at one point he's going to pass. But anyway, they're terrified. They think they're looking at a ghost. And Jesus says, "Take courage, it's me, don't be afraid." He climbs into the boat, and all of the confusion ceases, and they're able to cross over to another side. And, again, there's a great outburst of healing and wonderful things. Jesus will always operate according to his Father's timing and will. He's never going to be pushed around by the agenda of men. And even if that means going across the sea or by walking, he'll do it. But the disciples must learn that he is Almighty God, and he will do his ministry, and all they need to do is walk in tune with him, which is a challenge, but they're going to have to respond to that. I must pause. We're going to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to look at these two powerful miracles.
Into the darkest corners of my life, Lord. Shine your light. Let every sin in shadow be made known. For you are righteous. Your love, your grace, your mercy are far. Shine your light. Let me feel the depth of your great love within my heart, Lord. Let me feel the hands that bless the children rest. Show me more of your glory and your radiance. Shine your light. Shine your
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to talk to Richard further about these verses from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. They'd had a busy time. They were looking for a quiet place to rest. And all of a sudden, there was this demand placed upon them by people. How did Jesus cope with that sense of frustration, if you like, that he needed the rest, but actually people were making demands of him?
Well, I think that we know that Jesus didn't just give in to the demands of people, and yet we also know that in the heart of Jesus is enormous compassion, and he's aware how desperate these people are. And therefore, although physical rest has its place, and we know there is the command, remember the Sabbath day, there is the whole sense of rest, he also knows that he needs to respond in this particular situation.
Yes.
And I do like the fact that his initial response is to teach them. His initial response isn't a great healing session. He's teaching them.
He's teaching the disciples and showing them his way, which is quite different from their way, and probably from our way, because we probably would have said, as they did, send them off to the villages to get something to eat.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And he has a very, very different approach. In fact, we seem to be in something of a training mode at the moment, because just last time we were seeing him sending the disciples out into the villages and giving them the authority to do what he had been doing. And here we see him training them further, not only with the feeding of the 5,000, but also teaching them something very valuable about himself in calming the storm.
Well, that's right. That's right. I think that is an important point, that we have to remember that Jesus, though he's touching many, many lives, there is a very real focus and centering on preparing these 12 for a powerful time of ministry after he dies and rises from the dead. They're going to be the ones on which sharing the good news is going to rest. So all of these things are lessons, organizing the people into the 50s, 100s. They're all practical things, and yet they've also been involved in great spiritual things.
Mm.
Fascinating, really, how this all works out.
There's an interesting verse right at the end of chapter 6, verse 56, which kind of harks back to what we were doing in an earlier program about the woman with the issue of blood, because he's going around and all who touched him were healed. It's interesting that again we see this method of healing where people don't have to physically ask, they just touch his cloak.
Yes, I think that it's not laziness, and it's not a kind of getting out of facing it. I think the need is so great, and there's so many of them that they just feel just one touch is going to do it.
And they felt, they had that faith. They knew that if they just touched him.
That's right. They had that conviction. And of course, the number of people that could reach out and touch would be far, far greater than having a personal discussion with Jesus about their need.
What does that tell us about how we might reach out to Jesus today?
Well, we certainly have the same Jesus. We don't have a different Jesus. We don't have a watered-down Jesus. We have the full measure of Christ working in our world today. I think it really just inspires us, challenges us. How much faith do we have?
Mm.
How much conviction do we have to reach out? And if we trust him, and if we just recognize, even just reaching out, he can do extraordinary things. And we must believe him to do that.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark's Gospel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.